Oh, are you the best of protectors? So protect me. Oh, are you the best of protectors? So protect me.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله Welcome dear viewers to another episode of our series, our program titled Blessed Names of Allah Azza wa Jal Asma'ul Husna. Alhamdulillah, you've been watching. In the first episode, we mentioned the benefits of knowing and learning about the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the second episode, we discussed the dhati, personal name of Allah azza wa jal, meaning Allah. And we went into detailed discussion regarding the name Allah. Now, in this episode, we're going to discuss two famous names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, and we'll hear various things about these two blessed names. Now, when we look at the Holy Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala has mentioned these particular names, Ar-Rahman and Ar-Rahim, numerously, many times. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned them in his ahadith as well. Now, both words are derived from the word Rahm, and they both contain the meaning of mercy. Now, one thing to note here is that these are not the only two names which consist of this meaning, meaning the meaning of mercy. There are many other names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala which have this meaning of mercy, but these two have it to the greatest extent. Now, some basic information, inshallah. The first commentary of Sahih al-Bukhari was written by a scholar known as Imam Khattabi, rahmatullahi alayhi, and he discusses this name Ar-Rahman. He says, Ar-Rahman is that being whose mercy encompasses all of creation, whether a believer or a disbeliever, in matters regarding sustenance. So in other words, the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ar-Rahman, reaches everyone in creation, especially in the matter of sustenance, whether one is a disbeliever, whether one is a believer. Allama Ali Qari rahimahullah mentions in Mirqatul Mafatih, he says, وَكَانَ مَعْنَى الرَّحْمَانِ هُوَ الْمُنْعِمُ الْحَقِيقِيُّ تَامُ الرَّحْمَةِ أَمِيمُ الْإِحْسَانِ. That whatever bounties a person possesses in this life, they are all from Allah Azza wa Jal. And if anyone is a recipient of mercy from the creation, and that is also from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if someone favors another person, Allah has placed it in his heart to favor that person. This is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So directly when Allah bestows and indirectly using creation, it's all the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And tamur rahma, this means the mercy is for everyone, it's complete. Whether someone is a transgressor or whether someone is pious, they will all receive the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and of course in different ways. Now in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions his mercy various places. Now the first chapter, Suratul Fatiha, the first verse is what? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is to Allah, who is the Lord of all the worlds. That the name Allah contains all the meanings found within the attributive names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And secondly, Rabbil Alameen. Now when we focus on this particular part of the verse, Rabbil Alameen, we will recognize the awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, His majesty. Now the word Rabb, what does this denote upon? This denotes upon bringing someone up, nurturing someone from the initial stages till the stage of perfection, Kamal. Meaning a child is born, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for that child in each state in accordance to his need at that time, until that person reaches his limits. Now the meaning is found within this verse, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. This will develop awe in the heart of a believer. The majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be dominant in that person's heart. And he will be fearful of Allah Azza wa Jal as well. So straight after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. So straight after that awe was developed, that fear was developed in the heart, now Allah jalla wa ala says Ar-Rahman Ar-Rahim. Why? So that a person does not despair. Now there's a famous surah in the Quran named after this word Ar-Rahman, this beautiful name of Allah jalla wa ala. And in a hadith, Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu is the narrator. He narrates that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَرُوسٌ وَعَرُوسُ الْقُرْآنِ الرَّحْمَنِ. For everything, there is a bride. And the bride of the Qur'an is Ar-Rahman, meaning Surah Ar-Rahman. And the word Arus here is used for both bride and bridegroom. But commonly, it's used for bride. Now, why was this surah referred to as Arus? Now, just like a bride and groom are distinct, so when they get married from everyone else, they look more beautiful. And you can say their status on that day is greater than others. Similarly, without comparison though, the distinction of Surah Rahman, subhanallah, and its status is different compared to other surahs of the Quran. And some scholars have said the reason why this surah is referred to as Al-Arus is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned worldly favors and heavenly favors in this surah as well. The favors of the hereafter, worldly favors and favors of the hereafter. Moving on, in the Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has referred to certain things as mercy. I would like to mention a few things. For example, in Para 14, Surah Nahl, verse 89, Allah Jalla wa Ala says, وَنَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ تِبْيَانًا لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ وَهُدًى وَرَحْمَةً. Now, why is the Quran referred to as mercy here? When we comprehend this, we will try to understand this, we will realize that the Quran in its entirety is mercy from all angles and all aspects. Now, the foundational purpose of the Quran is to try and understand it, to implement it in a person's life, to read the commentaries of the Quran, and this will lead to one bettering his afterlife, his akhirah, inshallah. However, if you read it without understanding, you will still get the mercy of Allah. You won't be deprived, because we've been told, narration states, that for every letter of the Quran you read, you will receive 10 good deeds, subhanallah. Another person just touches the Quran with the intention of respect and seeking blessings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will still reward that person as well because of this good intention. Okay, if someone doesn't touch it, he just looks at it again with good intention, with respect, out of honor for the Quran, he will also be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And out of five things which are mentioned in the hadith, that if you look at them, you will be performing ibadah, worship. One of them is an-nadru ila al-mushaf, looking towards the Mus'haf, meaning the Holy Quran. What if a person doesn't read it, understand it, doesn't touch it, doesn't even look at it? He just keeps it in his house. The scholars of Islam have said that if a person, he has kept the Quran in his house to gain blessings, and he respects the Quran, he's not reading it, he's not touching it, he's not looking at it, even then, due to this amal of his, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send blessings and mercy upon that house, due to the presence of the Holy Quran, subhanallah. So a mercy in entirety. In the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala has mentioned that it is a cure for the hearts. وَنُنَزِّلُ مِنَ الْقُرْآنِ مَا هُوَ شِفَاءٌ وَرَحْمَةٌ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. And this is proven from the pious predecessors, the companions, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes illnesses through the blessings of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned rain as being mercy in the Holy Quran. Now through this rain, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revives dead, barren land. He mentions in part 19, Surah Furqan, verse 48, وَهُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ الرِّيَاحَ بُشْرًا. And why? So that people can see that rain is about to commence. Now, this is a good news, a source of glad tidings for people. And they know that the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is about to descend in the form of rain. And by means of it, illnesses, poverty, and so many other things are removed, are alleviated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran has referred to the day and night as mercy. So in part 20, Surah Al-Qasas, Allah jalla wa ala says, ومن رحمته جعل لكم الليل والنهار لتسكنوا فيه ولتبتغوا من فضله. If there was only day, how could a man, how could a person attain rest, comfort and peace? Because the body tires and we need to sleep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the night in such a way that a person sleeps in the night and he wakes up feeling fresh. The fatigue is removed. And this allows him to perform the next day's actions. And at night he can do those things which he cannot do before others. So certain actions which need to be done in a concealed manner, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the night for that purpose as well. Now sleep is so important at night that if someone tries to replace that sleep with the sleep of the daytime, then he won't be able to. He can sleep for 10 hours during the day, but he'll still feel tired. Why? Because that sleep at night is special. Now, if there was only night, day did not exist, daytime, how would people work? Even if they had lighting. The appropriate time to seek sustenance is daytime. Now look at many businesses, corporations, organizations across the world. Majority of their work takes place during the day. Their offices, their buildings, they are shut at a certain time. When night enters, they're no longer operating. And if they are, it's on a small scale. The main part of their business, their organization, the main work is done during the day. So these are just a few things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has declared His mercy. Now the Quran is full of knowledge and wisdom. I'd just like to mention three things here. There are two places in the Quran where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the vastness of His mercy. Once in Surah A'raf, para 9, verse 156, وَرَحْمَتِي وَسِعَتْ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ, and my mercy encompasses everything. And once in Surah Mu'min, also called Surah Ghafir, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about the four angels who carried the throne. And these will total 8 on the Day of Judgment. The four archangels and these four throne carrying angels, they have a high status in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They supplicated in Surah Mu'min, and their supplication is documented in this surah, the supplication of the angels who carry the throne. Now in these two maqamat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the vastness of His mercy. But there's no denying that the greatest mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Surah Anbiya verse 107, Allah jalla wa ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. And, oh beloved, we did not send you except as a mercy for the entire world. Alam, the scholars say, refers to everything other than Allah. مَا سِوَ اللَّهِ. So the Prophet alayhi wa sallam is a mercy for everything excluding Allah azza wa jal. Another part of the Quran where we're told about the vastness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah jalla wa ala says in Surah Zumar verse 53, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. O beloved, say that, O my slaves, those who have performed injustice against themselves, أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ, who have crossed the boundaries of transgression against themselves, لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ, do not despair from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A beautiful point that the ulama take from this verse is that, yes, the vastness of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been expressed. That do not despair from the mercy of Allah. He forgives all sins. But secondly, the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has described the sinful people to Himself. Ya ibadi. Meaning this ascription is towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is saying, oh my sinful slaves. He is ascribing the sinful slaves to Himself. He could have said, ya ibadullah, O slaves of Allah. But no, he said, Ya ibadi, O my slaves, alladhina asrafu ala anfusihim. Subhanallah. This is the compassion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala towards His sinful slaves. Let us listen to some ahadith in regards to the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah azza wa jalla said, Sabaqat rahmati ala ghadabi, that my mercy precedes my ghadab, my wrath. In another hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah azza wa jal is more merciful to a person than his own mother. Now there's an account where when the Muslims went to battle, they captured a lot of the opposing army. They had many captives, and including them was a woman. And when that woman was united with her child, it was seen that the woman is running from one side, the child is running from the other side, until they meet and hug each other. Then they cry. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, they saw this and began to cry as well. Prophet ﷺ left his tent and saw the Sahaba crying. He asked, "Why are you crying?" The Sahaba explained why they were crying. And the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah Azza wa Jal is more merciful towards his bondsman than a mother to her child. Allahu Akbar. Here some people mention a narration that Allah loves a person 70 times more than their mother. Now, although the wordings are correct, but after long research, the scholars have said that this is not in fact a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Two additional hadith in this regard. In Tabarani, the Prophet alayhi salam mentioned that on the day of judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show such mercy that even shaitan, the rejected, even he will raise his head and will be hopeful that perhaps I might receive a portion of this mercy. Another hadith, the overview of this hadith is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created 100 portions of mercy. And when a mother is merciful to her child and even an animal, when the mother of a particular animal is merciful to her child, this is due to one portion of mercy being distributed in the world. 99 portions of that mercy will be expressed in the hereafter. Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be the most merciful. Just last couple of points, inshallah, before we conclude this episode. Rahman, the word Rahman has appeared in the Quran 57 times and Rahim 34 times. And both of these names, as mentioned in the beginning, carry the meaning of mercy. But Rahman contains that meaning to a greater extent. Scholars have said that Rahman is he whose mercy showers upon disbelievers and believers. And Rahim refers to that entity whose mercy is only specific to the believers in the hereafter. Another point to take note of is Rahman. This name cannot be kept for creation without adding the word Abd. So you can say Abdul Rahman. But Rahim, you can refer to someone else as Rahim. Like in the Quran, Allah Jalla wa Ala refers to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as Rahim. Bil mu'minina ra'ufur Rahim. So this was an overview of the names Rahman, Rahim. You heard some beautiful points. Until next time, inshallah, we will cover more information regarding the blessed names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah protect you all. May Allah enable us to show mercy to His creation so that we become recipients of His mercy in this world and more importantly in the hereafter as well. Ameen bijahin Nabi al-Ameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Oh Allah, You're the best of protectors, so protect me. Oh Allah, You're the best of protectors, so protect me.